Good morning. Today's daf in Yomuz Lamed. We are on the very bottom of Chav Testament base. We're starting at the two dots, Zeklal Yab Mikdash, and we're still working on the first Mishnah. First Mishnah here of the third parak of the Masechta, transitioning into Yom HaKippurim. First parak dealt with the Hachana, the Afrash as Kohen Gadol, on the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. Second parak took us on a little bit of a detour with the Payasos, with the four lotteries that are done daily in the base of Mikdash. And now here in the third parak, so we're going to embark on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, although the first Mishnah, still a little bit more generic in terms of a daily activity in the Beis HaMikdash, and it dealt with basically establishing when is it daytime, when can we shech the Karban Tamid, and the back and forth, the dialogue that occurs between the person with the higher vantage point, the person on the bottom, is it light enough? Yes, it's light enough, good. Can we see Chevron? We can see Chevron, perfect. Okay, and they shechted the Karban Tamid. One time they shechted the Karban Tamid too early. They had to take it out to the Beis HaSreifa. Wonderful. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe, this is back on Chav Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah describes how we do Kohen Gadol, a Beis HaTfila. And then they take the Kohen Gadol now and they bring him down to the Beis HaTfila. Zeklal, and then the Mishnah gives us a general rule, and that is, Zeklal Hayab Mikdash. A general in the base of Mikdash, and that's Kol HaMetzach, Chesra Glav, Taun Tvila, V'chol HaMata Maim, Taun Kiddush Adayim V'Raglaim. So if you defecate, so there you have to, in order to resume serving in the base of Mikdash, you have to tov in the mikvah, and if all you did was just urinate, so then you just simply need Kiddush Adayim V'Raglaim, you need to wash your hands and feet. Okay, washing your hands and feet. Okay, our first topic of this morning, Zeklal Yab Mikdash. Just as a general rule, washing your hands and feet is a mitzvah for a kohen to do in the morning before doing the avoda. As the Gemara will establish later on this morning, failure to have washed your hands and feet prior to doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be mechalo the avoda. The avoda will not be good. It will be disqualified avoda if the kohen who's doing the avoda does not wash his hands and feet. This is what we learned back in Zvachim, if I remember correctly, the second parak of Zvachim. So over here now, we're having a discussion not about the Kohen in the morning, but we're talking about after using the bathroom, specifically after urinating. So you have to do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglaim. So why? Why do you need to wash your hands and feet? So Bishlam V'Raglaim Yishim Nitzotzo. So the Gemara says, so I understand why you have to wash your feet, and that's because you have actual drops of urine on your feet. In other words, we're talking about urination. They're urinating while standing up, so fine. So the Gemara says, that part I understand. Eli Adayim my time up, but the Gemara says, but why wash your hands? So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Abba Zosamer. So Rabbi Abba says, I'll tell you why. And that is mitzvah l'shafshef, because after you have to go, after having gone to the bathroom, and specifically after you're having urinated, so what you need to do is that you need to wipe off all the drops of urine, meaning if there are any remaining drops of urine, so on your feet, so you have to wipe them off with your hands. So in other words, they're now, your feet have urine on them, and your hands have urine on them, because of this requirement of having to wipe your feet. Why in the world do you have to wipe your feet, wipe urine off your feet, off your legs? What makes that so significant? So Rashi writes over here, it's a Gemara, really, but I'm going to read Rashi. So, mitzvah l'shafshe biyado, Rashi, nitoso shomei raglaim, hanitazim al raglav. So, all that urine that drops down on your feet, you got to wipe them off. Shelo yetze behem chutz, v'nira kekur shafcha. Because what's going to happen is that if you're walking out with urine on your feet, so people will think the following. First of all, you're not a hygienic person, but that's okay. And hygiene is important, by the way, right? Nikias is important. It's one of the it's one of the elevated steps of the Mesillas Yesharim to be in a state of Nikias. That's important. But Rashi points out over here is that if you have urine on your feet, so you appear not that you are, but you appear like a kur shavcha, somebody with a mutilated organ, and as a result of that, Rashi goes on to write, and what's the problem with that? Shein meraglai mikalchen ella shosathin. Generally speaking, when you are a kur shavcha. So that man is not going to be able to have a stream going out from him, but rather what's going to happen is basically all the urine is going to drip down on his legs. Ukrushavcha ain't a molid. Now we know as a general rule that a krushavcha, so he's impotent, and so therefore he's not able to father a child. And all those children that, you know, that are quote unquote his children, so what are they? They must be fathered by other men. And as Rashi points out over here, ukrushavcha ain't a molid, v'yamra abanav she'en shalom. And they'll say regarding those children that they're not his children. And what Rashi is assuming that we know is that, of course, is that the included in that challenge, included in that accusation, is that your children are mamzerim. So that's the problem. So basically, the person's not a krishavcha, and the person generally speaking had a stream of urine going far away from his body, but for those few drops that end up landing on his feet. so he should make sure to wipe him. So basically now he's got urine on his feet, urine on his hands, and that's why he needs to wash his hands and feet after having urinated. And let's go right back to the Gemara. Good. And the Gemara spells it all out. I read it in Rashi, but the Gemara here spells it all out in terms of what the concern is, what the possible consideration is. Now, obviously, by the way, as we're going through this Gemara, what becomes abundantly clear is that this point over here is not limited to a Kohen doing a vote in the Beis Hamikdash. It's true by anybody who having gone to the bathroom, meaning that this accusation, this latent accusation that you want to stay clear from. So obviously, it's not just applicable to Kohanim; it's applicable to you and me. Meaning, right? It's a universal concern that if that person can't father his own children, so therefore their mom's zero. So that's for everybody. So even though the Gemara over here is saying it in the context, Marty, if you want, we have seats over here, right? The bleachers, but still seats, good seats available. So it applies universally, even though we're discussing it in the context of in the context of Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash. Tosus over here, top Tosus on the Amud. So he starts off Tema. My Tarach L'Shavshev. I'm Istama Kaimi Lanka Rabbanan to Rabbi Lazda the Asal Echos Ba'ama. Ramale Rabbanan Valoni Tosus Nitaz Na Raglav. So Ama de Cheshaokes Ba'ama Initos Nitaz Na Raglav. So Tosus over here gets involved in the discussion. The Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida. The beginning of the second parak over there has a somewhat lengthy discussion. It's a couple blot, but the somewhat lengthy discussion about a man so that he shouldn't stimulate himself in order so that there shouldn't be shichvas der levatala. He shouldn't have an emission not in the context of intimacy with your wife. And so the Gemara Nida says that a person, generally speaking, shouldn't touch himself, even when urinating. And the back and forth over there in the Gemara Nida and Tosa says that that if, in fact, a person were just to hold himself for the purposes of urination, so then there wouldn't be any drips on his legs. And basically what Tosus is wondering is, so how do I reconcile the Gemara over there, Nida, with our Gemara over here? Our Gemara over here makes it sound like every man who urinates is going to have some drops falling on his feet at the end. And the Gemara Nida doesn't seem to suggest that. The Yeshlamer, so Tosos says, that's part of a longer discussion, Tosos. But I just want to highlight this one point of Tosos. The Yeshlamer, Alpha Pikin, E. F. Shishloye Mat, Nitazna Araglav, Dizimna, Michelle of Alavadite, Lechos, Bahama, Ad Libisof. So Tosos says, look, the Gemara Nida is not absolute. The Gemara Nida just simply says that a man urinating, even if he's holding himself during urination, not all the drops are going to stay clear of his own feet. And there ultimately will be a couple drops on his own feet. This concern of our Gemara over here, that there should be no drops on your feet whatsoever. So that concern is such a strong concern, even for the few drops that fall on your feet at the end. So then you should wipe them off. So again, there's an intersection of the Gemara Nida and our Gemara over here. Tosfos over here discusses it in much greater detail. Amra Papa, we are now back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is sometimes when discussing one bathroom matter goes on to discuss another bathroom matter, and just from here until the next Mishnah, so a couple of points regarding our requirement to basically be clean. So Amara Papatol Bim Kama Asal across Kriyashma. So if you have any excrement and it's Bim Kama, in other words, it's anywhere in the rectal area, so you can't say Kriyashma. So the Gemara Brachos teaches us that when davening, when learning Torah, so you have to be in a state of nikias, and there cannot be any kind of waste product. There can't be urine, there can't be excrement around the area in which you're doing so. Right, v'ayamachanecha kadosh, the pasuk says in Parshas Kisete. So we have to be in a state of kedusha and nikias when saying Shema, when davening. So the Gemara over here quotes b'shem Rav Papa that any excrement in the rectal area, so you can't say Kriya Shema. The Gemara says now, this requires more clarification. Pshita. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If it's somewhere in the exterior area, meaning visible to everybody, so then that's obvious, meaning that was already discussed and established back in the Gemara and Brachos, and Rav Papa's not giving us a Chiddush, and the Gemara says, I can't imagine. Rav Papa's trying to teach us something, and right now he's not teaching us anything. And Idolonirus, Lonina, Torla, Malachim, Asharis. Now, if it is not in the external area, but it's rather somewhere in the more interior area of the rectum, so the Gemara says, so that's called being human. The Torah wasn't given to Malachi Asharis, and obviously after going to the bathroom, so obviously we wipe to the best of our ability, but that's it. In other words, we're not angels, we're imperfect humans, and so there is going to be excrement in the area, again, and more in the interior area, not the exterior area, and the Gemara says, and that's fine, meaning that's just called being human, and there's no expectation that we should be any cleaner than that. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha v'yo... Visible just anywhere in his legs or on the buttocks. In other words, just simply in an area. No, I understand that, but still, even if he's wearing pants. In other words, but if there's excrement over there, and well, the Gemara over here does not really consider the odor, although that's part of the equation. No, but it just simply means it's exterior on his body. So the Gemara says, "Latzricha diyoshev neiris al meveno neiris." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so the chiddush of Papa is that we're basically on some border between exterior and interior. If he is sitting, it's visible. If he's standing, it's not visible. And that's where Rav Papa's Chiddush is that even though it's not visible under all circumstances, it's only visible in a sitting position, but still, that's the Chiddush of Rav Papa. That's still considered external. Again, the covering over here is not significant. The point is that if there's soa that is in your presence... No, I understand that, but visibility over here just simply means that it's there. In other words, you have to take it into consideration. That's all. But in other words, visible over here, right? Unlike the Gemara in Brachos says, right? Again, going back to the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos says that when it comes to erva, for example, so there the main issue is visibility, meaning you cannot see erva while you're saying Shema. So even if it's covered, but if it's covered by glass, that's not. In other words, that's no good. When it comes to excrement, so there, visibility is not the issue. It's just simply that you're in the presence of tzoa. Okay. So, umishnaim tzoa basar, the Gemara says, okay. So now, here's what we're saying right now, and that is that if you have excrement in the rectal area, but on the exterior part of the rectal area, so the Gemara says, so that's going to be consideration. The Gemara says, I don't understand. We had this discussion, and now we're going to go back to the Gemara and Brachos. Right here now, the Gemara is acknowledging the Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara just wants to know now, like, what's Rav Papa saying that's going to be different than the Gemara and Brachos? And, as we're going to see in just a moment, the Gemara and Brachos brings down a machlokas on this very issue. Didmar, we learned in the Gemara and Brachos, so al basaro, shaya, yadav, bevesa kisei, if, let's say, if excrement on any part of your body, or if your hand happens to currently be in the besa kisei, Ravuna amar mitzalukos kriyashma. So Ravuna says that you're allowed to say kriyashma. Now, again, the Gemara and Brachos goes into more detail regarding any kind of foul odor that's coming out of it, meaning if there's a foul odor coming out of it, so already that is going to inhibit a person's ability to say kriyashma. So we have to be talking about excrement that doesn't have a foul odor coming out of it. Again, odor is an issue, but the Gemara over here is just talking about the actual excrement itself. So Rav Huna says that, look, if there's excrement on any part of your body and doesn't give off an odor, or if your hand's currently in the bathroom, so you're okay, you could say kriyashma. And Rav Chista Amar Asala Kros Kriyashma Bim Kama. Sorry, that's already the answer. So Asala Kros Kriyashma, and Rav Chista says, no, that one is not allowed to say, kriyashma. And the Gemara and Brachos goes into much bigger detail regarding what is the svara behind Rav Huna, what's the svara behind Rav Chista. Rashi over here quotes very succinctly that as far as Rav Chista is concerned, that if there's excrement on any part of your body, you can't say Kriyashma. The pasuk says Kol Atzmo Sane Tamarna, that when you praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, either davening or learning Torah, so when you're praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Kol Atzmo Sai, your entire body needs to be free and clear of any dirt. And the svara behind Rav Huna that you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara and Brachos says it's predicated on the fact that the only things that really need to be free and clear of the tzoa is going to be your mouth, your nose, the part of your body where the Torah is being expressed. But if there's excrement on another part of your body and it doesn't smell, so then it'd be fine. Anyway, what the Gemara is bothered by is the following. Like this Rav Papa discussion over here, Tzoa Bim Koma, that if you have Tzoa in the buttock area, around the region, around the rectal region, so what Rav Papa says is that even if you can't see it at all times, meaning only, even if it's only visible when you're sitting, that's going to be that's going to inhibit a person's ability to say Shema. And meanwhile, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, so they're arguing about excrement on any part of the body, and on top of that, Rav Chista says that any part of the body it's going to be usur. So this idea of Rav Papa that it's specific to a specific area on the part of your body. So how does Rav Papa work considering the fact that there's already a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chista? So the Gemara's answer, bim koma nafish duama, shlo bim koma lo nafish duama. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what we're going to say, that if we're talking about excrement in the rectal area, so that is the source of where it came out from. So there it is just, it's more foul. And so therefore Rav Papa says, that's why, even if I subscribe to the more lenient position of Rav Huna, that excrement on other parts of your body, meaning you stepped on some excrement and now there's excrement on your foot, but it happens not to smell. So Rav Huna says, fine. In other words, that's tolerable, halachically tolerable. But over here, where we're talking about the excrement, bim koma, so that's, Rav Papa says, that's the source, it's more foul, and that's how I can, maintain Rav Papa's position and still maintain the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Tashma, the Gemara concludes on this topic, halacha besuda, adam yotz, I'm sorry, halacha besuda. Okay, now I'll call it etiquette, but it's etiquette halacha. In other words, it's a little combination. So adam yotz lahashemai notel yado achas v'nichnas. A person goes and urinates in the right, in other words, excuses himself to go urinate in the meal, and he comes back. What does he have to do? Wash one hand. The assumption is that he only used one hand, so therefore he only needs to wash one hand. Yota achas v'nichnas. Diber im chaver v'hiflig. Let's say he was outside for a longer period of time. Okay, and the Gemara over here could mean that he went for a more serious break, or just the Gemara just could simply mean that he was away from the meal for a considerable amount of time. Whatever the case is, noto sheyada v'nichnas. So now when you come back, you have to wash both of your hands. Ukisho noto lo yito mi b'chutz. Now, when washing your hands, don't wash your hands outside, but wash your hands when you come back in. Okay, now again, we're talking here halacha etiquette. One has to wonder, wouldn't it be better if you wash your hands while you were outside? In other words, you're coming in with possible drips of urine on your hands and on your feet, and you're washing your hands back inside. Why are you doing that? So interestingly, the Gemara says because you want to show everybody that you are hygienic. And so you're going to come back in, you're going to wash your hands when you come back in again. You want people to see that hygiene is important to you. And obviously, you know, it won't turn people off when you come back in and for a moment someone's going to say to himself, did he wash his hands? And the Gemara is going to spell this out. Because of this concern meaning this concern that perhaps he didn't wash his hands after having gone to the bathroom. So what he's going to do is he's going to come down, he's going to sit back in his spot. And then what the shamash is going to do is that the washing jug, the washing pitcher, he's going to turn to anyone else around the table and says, do you guys need to wash your hands? And as Rashi points out over here, it's a little bit of theater, right? And I mean that not in a negative way, but it's a little bit of theater over here, says Rashi. Because basically what the shamash wants to do is he wants to announce to everybody, hey, this guy went outside, he went to the bathroom, but he washed his hands, right? It's just a way of informing everyone else. It's a polite way to inform everyone else that this guy washed his hands. Good. Rav Chista says this idea that you have to wash your hands in front of other people because they're going to be concerned that you didn't wash your hands. So Rav Chista says, let me limit that a little bit. That idea is only when you're coming back in to drink, because there is a thought process. Again, we live in a very hygienic world. So for us, it's a little bit hard to relate to. I totally admit. And now, I mean, you know, for the last year and change, it's beyond hygienic. So okay, fine. We're like in a sterile bubble. But back in the day, So the Gemara, what Rav Chista is pointing out the following. If you're coming back just to have a drink, so okay, so I went to the bathroom, I urinated, but I'm not going to eat. I'm just going to drink. I'm going to hold the cup. So there's a thought amongst everyone there at the table that maybe he didn't wash his hands. And that's why you need the theater of making sure that you wash your hands in front of other people. Okay. But Rav Chista says, but if you're coming back in to eat, no one for a moment is going to think, you went outside, you went to the bathroom, right? You wiped your legs to make sure there was no urine on it. There's urine now on your hands and on your feet. So for a moment, people are going to think you're going to come back in here to eat and you didn't wash your hands. So Rav Chista says, under those circumstances, you don't have to make a public viewing of you washing your hands. You wash your hands while you're outside. When you come back in and you're eating, everybody knows that you washed your hands. Okay, that's Rav Chista's modification. So everybody knows that nobody's going to start sitting there eating with his hands and having not washed them prior to that. People know. And you don't have to make a show about it. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, well, everybody knows me, right? He says basically, I'm a little bit of a germ freak. Okay, I know I'm using modern terminology, but I'm a little bit of a germ freak, and so for me, I always wash my hands. People know that if I'm coming back into the meal after having excused myself, people know I wash my hands. Meaning, even for drinking, I don't have to make a show of it and wash my hands in front of other people. Like, if anyone knows me just a little bit, they know I wash my hands. Okay. So it's interesting because, again, this is where I say it's halacha etiquette. Because if it's mamash gzeira derabanan, that you have to do it, so Rav Nachman Yitzchok, where can he say, people know me. Okay, people know you. But in other words, but if that's the halacha, so that's what you do. So that's why, categorically, it's a little bit difficult to figure out where this belongs categorically. It's etiquette and it's halacha. It's a little bit of a hybrid between the two. If Rav Nachman Yitzchok is just simply excusing himself from this requirement of public washing. Okay. We start with the Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on Lamed Amid Aleph. Ein Adam Nichnas Azar Lavoda Afilu Tar Ashitbo. So a person was going to go into the Azara to do the Avoda, and even if you already Tahor, but you must Tovel the Mikvah. Okay, going into the Azara, you're now going into a Makam Kadosh, right? You're in the Har Habayis area, you're in Yerushalayim, right? Let's go from the exterior to the interior. Okay, the first thing you're encountering when going into Chomas Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim, is now you're entering into the era of Yerushalayim, a place where you can eat, Maaser Sheni, Kachim Kalim, like Shlamim. So good. So now you're in Yerushalayim. So you're already on one Madrega. By the way, the first parak in Kalim, right? And I don't want to give the pretense like I know it, but the first Mishnah, the first parak in Kalim goes through these levels, right? Really spends the time outlining how you move up and up in Kedusha. Okay, after Yerushalayim, next thing you're doing is you're going into Har Habayis. So Har Habayis also surrounded by a perimeter wall, and now you're going into the Har Habayis. You're up in Kedusha. Right, it is the right in terms of the midbar model. We just started Sefer Bamidbar. In terms of the midbar model, now you are in Machane Levia. You're right. You're now in a higher level of kedusha, going into Har Habayis. Who can't go into a Har Habayis? Azava, Mitzara, Anida, Yolada. They can't go into the Har Habayis area. Okay, the Balkeri can't go into the Har Habayis area. Fine. And then, from the Har Habayis area, now you're going into the Azara. That's the temple courtyard. And that also has now a higher level of Kedusha. Good. And it can go on and see the first parak in Kalim for much more discussion and description of this. But okay, so now you're in the Azara. So the Mishnah tells us that nobody goes into the Azara without having toveled in the mikvah. Meaning it's a higher level of Kedusha, and therefore it demands that we have to tovel in the mikvah. Rashi writes over here, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, is that when we use the word avoda, we're using it loosely, says Rashi. Right? Lav dafka de'in adam nichnas la'azara ad she'edvol. So the, la'avoda lav dafka. Rashi writes that we use the word avoda over here. It doesn't mean you're going in to do the avoda. It just simply means you're going in. Most people go in and do the avoda. But the point over here, says Rashi, is that you're going into the azara now. You need to tovel in the mikvah. So okay, as far as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is concerned, so he's going to tovel five times. He's going to be doing Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim a total of 10 times. We are going to go into the details later in this parak regarding the 5 and the 10 of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Umekashba bayom v'kulam b'kodesh al beis parva. Now, every time he tovels in the mikvah, it's going to be in the Azara. Bakodesh meaning it's going to be in the Azara. In one of the mikvahs that are in the perimeter of the Azara, it's specifically al beis parva. Except chutz mizu, except for that first tefillah in the morning, bilvad parsu sadin shalbutz beino levein ha'am. And what they do is that basically he's toveling in a kind of an open area, and so we would like a little bit of snios, a little bit of discretion. So they basically hold up a curtain when he tovels, so that obviously he's going to have a little bit of privacy when he tovels in the when he does that first tefillah, which is in a mikvah that's in a more open area. Okay. The last three words of the Mishnah, Kiddush Yad V'Raglav, so we're gonna leave that out. Okay. We start with the Gemara. Shalu es ben zoma, tefillah zulama. Okay, so the question here is really simple. You go into the Azara, you must tovel before going into the Azara. And again, according to Rashi, and Tosfos makes the same point as well, that it's lav dafka, meaning not la avod, it just simply means you're going into the Azara. And you have to tovel in the mikvah, and the Gemara wants to know why. What's the source of that? So the ask Ben Zoma this very question. Tvila Zulama, Amar Lahem, Oma, Mishan, Mikarish, Lakarish, Mikamakam, She'enosh Karis, Lamakam, She'enosh, Mimakam, She'enosh Karis, Lamakam, She'enosh Karis, Ton Tvila. So he says, look, let's use our Kohen Gadol as our foundation. Meaning the Kohen Gadol, every wardrobe change of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to demand to have him tovel in the mikvah. In other words, there are going to be a total of 4 or 5 changes. You'll see. It's a little bit tricky to count. But and he goes from gold to white to gold to white to gold. Okay. If you didn't understand that, just stay with me. In other words, later in the parak, we'll go into all the details. So with these with these wardrobe changes, every time he changes clothing, so then he has to tovel in the mikvah. Furthermore, where is he in terms of moving location? And the answer is very simple. You know where he is in terms of moving location? I mean, yes, he's moving around in the Azara, but he's in the Azara the whole time. So our Kohen Gadol, who is making a wardrobe change and not really even moving and elevating Kedusha, and he needs to tovel in the mikvah for between every time. So now we're going to make a Kal V'Chomer. So now you're talking about somebody who is wearing his weekday clothing, getting changed into his big day kahuna. And on top of that, he's going to go from a makam she'eno anosh kares to an area where it's anosh kares. He's now going into the azara, where a tummy person goes into the azara, he's subject to the kares penalty. So al achas kama v'kama, the Gemara doesn't say this, but al achas kama v'kama, how much more so does he have to tovel on the mikvah? And so according to Ben Zoma, what we have over here is a good old-fashioned Kal V'Chomer. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when making a change, even though it's not really qualitative change, in other words, he's not moving in locations, and yet the Torah says he has to tovel the mikvah. So for some, a Kohen, who is now going from a makom, from a lower elevated area, both geographically and halachically, in Kedusha, to a higher area. So, and on top of that, he's going from Big Day Chol to Big Day Kodesh. So, Alachas Kama V'Kama. So, he for sure has to tovel the mikvah. And so, what that's called is a Kal V'Chomer. Now, as we all know, Kal V'Chomer, it's a Din D'Oraisa. Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem. There are 13 ways in which the Torah is expounded, and the first of the 13 is Kal V'Chomer. So, when a halach is deduced through a Kal V'Chomer, so it sounds like over here that we're discussing a Din D'Oraisa. That when you go into the Azar, you have to tovel in the mikvah. That is all the sheet of Ben Zoma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Srach Tvila, Hizu, Kadesh Yizkor, Tuma Yishana, Shibiyada, V'Yifrosh. Rabbi Yehuda says, nah. They're right. He simply does not, he rejects the Kal V'Chomer outright. Doesn't say exactly why he rejects the Kal V'Chomer, but he rejects the Kal V'Chomer, meaning, yes, there is a requirement to tovel before going into the Azara, but what it is, he describes as Srach Tvila. Just, you know what it is? It's basically just a reminder. Rashi writes over here, the last Rashi on the Amud. Srach tvila huzu, ein kan chova min haTorah, ela lisrach v'litfos b'shem tvila. Basically, it's there to remind you, hey, you gotta be pure. You're going into a place, you gotta be pure, and you're gonna tovel in the mikvah, and it's gonna be a reminder. A reminder for what? Meaning, if you're toveling in the mikvah, what do I need a reminder? Aren't you now pure? So Rashi goes on to describe, no. You know who tovels in the mikvah? So yeah, we all know who tovels in the mikvah. People who are tummy tovel in the mikvah. Velases lelibo im yesh tuma alav v'yizkor tuma yeshana. And now when you tovel in the mikvah, so basically you become super conscientious over the idea that you have to be in a state of tahara, and it's basically now going to it's going to shake your memory. And Rashi describes sheyesh alav v'shicha chavir fresh melavalazar hayom hashi arif shimsho achatil avalo ya'avod hayom. And if it's gonna wake you up from the fact that maybe you have some residual tumma, let's say for example, right, you came into contact with the sheretz. Like a simple example, you came into contact with the sheretz. So by toveling in the mikvah, it's there to remind you. Now, as a reminder, what does it serve? So Rashi writes. I read it, but now I'm going to explain it. So Rashi writes over here that what's going to remind you is that if in fact you were tameh prior to having gone into the mikvah, so good. So the mikvah is a great way to become tahor, but that's only step one. Of course, you need step two. Step two, of course, is Erev Shemesh. You have to wait until sunset. So what it does is that it's going to jar your memory to remind you. It's going to force you to remember if, in fact, you really are tameh, and if you really are, so good. So now you tovel in the mikvah, but of course, you still need Erev Shemesh, and that means that you're DQ'd for the rest of today. Good. We have over here a basic machlokas between the Tanayim in terms of this requirement to tovel in the mikvah before going into the Azara, according to Ben Zama, it's a Kav HaChomer, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, it's just a way to shake you up and get you to remember if, in fact, you're harboring any old tumah. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the Nekuda machlokas over here? So the Gemara says, as now we're on the top of the Amud base, so ba'achuli avod kamiflagi. So the Gemara suggests, you know what? So maybe what this cuts into now is that as far as a nafkamina between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda, so according to Ben Zoma, so if you failure to tovel in the mikvah and you do the avoda is disqualified. Meaning if the requirement to tovel in the mikvah is a din d'oraisa, so then failure to do so would mean that the avoda that is subsequently done is avoda psula. It's michulelis. It's no good. And le Ben Zoma machla avoda le Rabbi Yehuda la machla avoda. And for Rabbi Yehuda, this is just a din de rabbanan to try to wake you up and force you to remember any old tumah that you may be harboring. So it's a din de rabbanan. Failure to do so is not going to be mechalal the avoda. So the Gemara says, presumably, that's enough coming in between the two. Now, it's a great suggestion, but the Gemara says, but it's not correct. So the, ula ben zoma mimacha vahatanya. So you tell me that for Ben Zoma, who makes a Kav HaChomer, failure to do so would result in an avoda psula. The Gemara says it's just not true. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa. Kohen gadol shelo tovel v'lo kiddush bein beged lebeged u'bein avoda l'avoda avoda sok shera. So if I have a Kohen gadol who fails to do the washing of the hands between changes, between the wardrobe changes, and between the avodas, so even though obviously it is a glaring omission, and by the way, on Yom Kippur, I mean it's such a pronounced omission, meaning it's one of the chief highlights of the avodas Yom Kippurim is the tefillah and the kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, the 5 and 10, which we're going to be spending a lot of time in this parak discussing. So okay, fine, but anyway, but the point is that if it's omitted, the avodas still kshera. And let me just clarify, by the way, we're not talking about the first Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that's done in the morning. That's essential, as we pointed out earlier this morning. We're just talking about between the changes. And the Braisa makes exactly that point. The Braisa says it. That if he doesn't do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the morning, so then the Avodah is going to be Psula. But the point is that between the avodas and between the wardrobe changes, obviously it's a mitzvah, but failure to do so will not disqualify the avoda. And the Gemara is assuming right now that Ben Zoma cannot be arguing with this braisa. And so we try to give a nafkamina between Ben Zoma and Rav Yehuda in terms of Ben Zoma, Kav HaChomer, Daraisa, Mechala, the avoda, Rav Yehuda, Durabana, not Mechala, the avoda, but the Gemara says, but it's just simply not true. In other words, even if you fail to do so, it's not going to be mechal the avoda. So ela lamekam baasei kamiflagila ben zama kai baasei l'rav Yehuda lo kai baasei. So the Gemara says, okay, so the difference between them is not going to be as pronounced, where the avoda is going to be disqualified. No one subscribes to the idea that the avoda is going to be disqualified. That's not in fact the case. And the only difference between the two, the Gemara says, is did you violate nasei in the Torah? So according to Ben Zoma, who holds that it didn't daraisa, so failure to having tetov on the mikvah is a bitul aseh. You missed an opportunity to perform a mitzvah daraisa. As opposed to the shita of Rabbi Huda, you're not violating an aseh. Okay, and what exactly is the teeth of this nafkamina? Meaning, okay, good. The Gemara is looking for a nafkamina, practical difference. What's the practical difference whether you violate an aseh or you didn't violate an aseh? Maybe tshuva, maybe kapara. The Gemara doesn't really spell out and so what. Okay, umi Israel Rav Yehuda hai svara. Now the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Yehuda svara now is that it's all a function of a reminder. Meaning the toveling in the mikvah, the requirement to tovel in the mikvah when you go into the azara, is there is a not so gentle reminder to help you remember if in fact you're tummy. But it's srach tumma, it's a din derabanan. So the Gemara says, does Rav Yehuda really hold this? Vatanya. Gemara says, let's consider the following. It is a tosefta in Negayim. Mitzora. Now, in terms of the Taurus of Mitzora, a topic that comes out throughout Shas, so we know that part of his Tahara procedure, it's a 7-day Tahara process. And then after going through the 7-day Tahara process, I'm not going to go through all the details right now. So day number 7 is really the last day of his Tahara, yes and no. It is the last day of 7, obviously. Probably the smartest thing I said so far today. So it says, so the 7th day is the last day of the 7-day process. However, he still can't go into the Beis HaMikdash and he still can't eat carbon until he offers the carbonus on day 8. The carbonus that he offers on day 8, that obviously is for the purpose of taking him out of being the status of what's called a Mechusar Kippurim. Good. So now, on day 7, he tovels in the mikvah. That's a given. What about day 8? So here the Brisa discusses. Mitzorah tova va'omed b'sharni karnor. So so on the 8th day, according to the Tanakhama, so he tovels. He tovels in the mikvah on day 8. Now he already tovel on day 7, but he's going into the Azara. Good. So tova in the mikvah on day 8. And when I say going to the Azara, by the way, we're going to be discussing this tomorrow. He doesn't go entirely into the Azara. He sticks his thumb into the Azara. Good, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Einu Tzarech Tzvila Shekvar Tavel Mi Be'erev. And Rabbi Yehuda says, well, are you really going to make him go through the trouble of toveling in the mikvah? You know he toveled just yesterday. Like, give the guy a break. That's not the argument. But Rabbi Yehuda says he toveled yesterday already. He doesn't have to tovel again today. Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know, Rav Yehuda, you say that you go into the Azara, you have to tovel. It's there to remind you. Meanwhile, Amar Tzara on the 8th day doesn't have to tovel. The Gemara says, you think that's a question? That's no question. Ha'hu kiditani taima shekvar tovel mi ba'erev. The Gemara says, look, according to Rav Yehuda, what's the whole purpose of toveling? It's there to remind you. Good. He just did it. He went yesterday. So you need another reminder today. I mean, maybe the answer would be yes, but he went yesterday. There's no need for him to go again today. And the Gemara says, and look, the answer was so obvious, like I didn't even understand what you were asking. Right? Yeah, you're right. Rav Yehuda does require a person to tovel the mikvah, going to the Azara. In the case of the Mitzora, so since he toveled on day 7, he doesn't have to tovel again on day 8. That's not so difficult to figure out. So the Gemara says, you're right. You're absolutely right. Meaning, good. I wasn't really trying to pose a question on Rav Yehuda from the Braisa. However, now that we're here, but let me point out the following. Mishum dekabai lamir ma'achrita alaha. It happens to be that there's another issue that once you know the Braisa that we just went through, so now it seems to go against the upcoming Braisa. The upcoming Braisa reads as follows. Lishkas ha-Mitzorayim, Shisha Mitzorayim Tovlim. So the Lishkas ha-Mitzorayim, where are the Mitzorah Tovel? Okay, right, the various Lashakos, the various chambers that are around the Ezros Nashim. We just took a tour of the Ezros Nashim recently in the Daf Yomi. Okay, anyway, so the Lishkas ha-Mitzorayim, where they're the Mitzorah Tovel. And Rav Yehuda Amar Lo Mitzorayim Belvad Amar Ela Kol Adam. And Rav Yehuda says, you know, it's not just the Mitzorah that tovels over there. Everybody tovels over there. So so that is the Lishkas HaMitzorayim. And any person going into the Azara has to tovel. So now what comes out over here is that, as we were describing, the Lishkas Mitzorayim in the second Braisa, so what comes out over here is that Rav Yehuda says, oh, it's not just the Mitzorah, it's everybody else. What do you mean it's not just... What? Rabbi Yehuda is having the Mitzorah Tovel over there? Meaning this is day 8. And Rabbi Yehuda is having the Mitzorah Tovel over there. And in one brisa earlier, Rav Yehuda says the Mitzvah doesn't have to tovel on day 8. He toveled on day 7 already. So what we have now is a stira. Good. So now we have a stira within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Does the Mitzvah need to tovel on day number 8? So in one brisa he said no need. He did already on day 7. And in this brisa that we just learned together, yeah, Rav Yehuda says he's toveling on day 8 in the Mitzvah. It's a simple stira. So now the Gemara is going to come up with a number of suggestions. 5 in total. Bring us to the end of the daf. So answer number 1 says the Gemara Lokasha had to tavel, had to lo tavel. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Brisa that says that he doesn't have to tovel on day 8 is when he toveled on day 7. And the Brisa that says that he has to tovel on day 8 is when he didn't tovel on day 7. The Gemara says, that's not a good answer. Either lo tavel, harav shemesh bai. The Gemara says, we all know the halacha. If you didn't tovel on day 7, and day 8 now is his tevila, meaning his real bona fide tevila, so you can't go in, you're not tahor yet. In other words, that now is the conclusion of your tzara'as. You still need Harav Shemesh, meaning you need tefillah on day 7, plus on top of that you need Harav Shemesh to allow you even to go up to the gates of Sharni Karnar on day number 8. If day number 8 is now his actual first tefillah, so you still need Harav Shemesh. So the Gemara says that's not a good answer. So ela idi v'idi detavel, had asach daite, had lo asach daite. So the Gemara says, well, he toveled on day 7. And the one brisa of Rav Yehuda says there's no requirement to tovel on day number 8. So he did not have a hesach hadas. He didn't lose focus. He didn't lose concentration. Now, at this point in time, it's not totally clear what that means. Why, he didn't go to bed that night between day number 7 and day number 8? I imagine he did. So what exactly constitutes a hesach hadas? Not totally sure. But in the one brisa that says that he doesn't have to tovel on day 8, there was no hesach hadas. And then the other brisa, and the second brisa that says he does have to tovel on day number 8, there was a hesach hadas. So the Gemara says, I asach daite, azal shlishi v'shvi bai. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If there was a hesach hadas, if he really had a moment, a significant moment in which he just was not conscientious, so the Gemara says, you need a lot more than just another tefillah. So you need sprinkling of the mechatas on day 3 and 7. So the Amar Rav Dustai Bar Masan Amar Rav Yochanan Hesach Hadas Sarach Hazar Shlishi V'Shvi. That if you have a Hesach Hadas, so at that point in time, meaning if you really lapsed into the state of just you weren't conscientious, and so there is a chance, there's a possibility that you went over a mace, and now the tumah that you have is so significant, it's so serious, you need the mechatas on day 3 and day 7. So to answer the discrepancy between Rav Yehuda, where the one case where there was no hesach hadas, another case where there was, no, if there was a hesach hadas, you're in big trouble halachically, tummy wise. So the Gemara says, fine. Ela idi v'idi de lo asach daite v'lo kasha ad tavel adas bias mikdash had lo tavel adas bias mikdash. So the Gemara says, okay. So here we're going to now propose a third answer, and this answer the Gemara likes, right? The first two answers the Gemara simply did not accept. But this answer Gemara is happy with, and that is, well, you tovel the mikvah, so what kavanas do you have? Okay, and over here, this is well before you get to any Kabbalistic kavanas, which I cannot speak to. But over here, this is as per the Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga says that when you're toveling in the mikvah, you have to have an awareness of the purpose of this tefillah. The purpose of the tefillah could be something like, I'm going to eat truma. The purpose of the tefillah is I'm going to go into the base of Mikdash. Purpose of the tefillah, I'm going to eat carbon, etc., etc. So as per the Gemara in Chagiga, so the Gemara over here says, yeah. In other words, maybe in one case when he toveled in the mikvah on day 7, he wasn't thinking that this tefillah is going to help me go into the base of Mikdash. Okay, just practically speaking, it's a little bit strange. Meaning, contextually, you know you're a mitzvah, you know you're concluding your tzaras on day number 7. You know tomorrow you have a date in the base of Mikdash. So it's a little bit strange that he didn't have that kavana, but okay. So the brisa that says that he doesn't have to tovel on the mikvah on day 8 is because when he toveled on day 7, he did so with the kavana of going into the base of Mikdash. And the brisa that says that he needs to tovel on day 8 is because when he tovel on day 7, he didn't have that kavana. Okay, good. That's one suggestion. The Gemara likes it. Amru kol adam. Or another possibility is that we're going to edit that second brisa that says that Rav Yehuda says the lishkas mitzrayim. So we have the original girsa that we had is lishkas mitzrayim shasham mitzrayim tovel. Rav Yehuda omer lo mitzrayim bilvad. So here in our editing of the Braisa, we're just going to say Lo Mitzarayim, which is really funny. In other words, Lishkas Mitzarayim. You know who Tov was there? If you ask Rav Yehuda, yeah, not Mitzarayim. Okay. It's a, so and then the name of the place is like really sarcastic. Okay, so okay, fine. So the fine. That's and then with the editing, then we're fine. Meaning Rav Yehuda subscribes to the idea that the Lishkas Mitzarayim is not for the Mitzorah because he doesn't need to tovel on day 8. He toveled already on day 7. And finally, another answer, another proposed answer, Ravina Amar, Rav Yehuda Divrem de Rabban and Kamar Lahum. So the, when Rav Yehuda was speaking to the Chachamim, he was not espousing his own viewpoint, but rather he was trying to speak to the Chachamim within their position. Look, as far as I'm concerned, day 8, there's no requirement of tefillah. So I'm not in the discussion. However, but according to you, right, the Lishkas Mitzarayim. Look, I don't think the Mitzarayim has to go tovel. Good. But don't you at least agree with me that it's not just the Mitzarayim, but it's Kol Adam, it's everybody? Okay, in other words, and Rav Yehuda just speaking to the Chachamim on their terms. V'rabbanan, and as far as the Chachamim are concerned, Mitzorah Daish Betumah, Kol Adam Lo Daish Betumah. And the Chachamim say back to Rav Yehuda, no. The Mitzorah, where has he been for the last at least a week, but obviously longer? In other words, since he's got his Saras. So he's been in a state of Tumah all this time, and quite frankly, he's become totally desensitized to Tumah, right? Daish Betumah. Okay, just unfortunately, in the state of being a Mitzorah, so he's been very comfortable with being Tameh. And so now, what the Chachamim say back to Rav Yehuda is that, no, this requirement is specifically for Mitzorah. Look, he's just been unfamiliar with Tahara for such a long time. With somebody else, it's going to be more careful. And the Lishkas Mitzorayim is not for everybody else. Meaning for everybody else, yes, they need to tovel from the mikvah, but they could do so on their terms. Right? They don't, not like the Mitzorah who needs to tovel just simply because he's been so unaccustomed to being tolerant. So Amar Abayla Rav Yosef Neim Rabbanan de Pliga Le de Rabbi Yehuda Keben Zoma Sfir Lahu. So the Gemara says, okay. Now the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe you want to align it with Ben Zoma. So Ben Zoma, who we learned at the beginning of this whole discussion, says that the tefillah in the mikvah is a din de oraisa. So maybe now the Chachamim are aligned with Ben Zoma. And the only reason why we're highlighting the Mitzorah is just simply to showcase like Rav Yehuda's strong stance that nah, the Mitzorah doesn't have to tovel on day 8 again because he toveled already on day 7. So Odilma Shani Mitzorah to Daish Betuma, or maybe not, or maybe it's just something specific to the Mitzorah because he's been so accustomed to Tumah all this time. So I'm relating Mitzorah to Daish B'Tumah, and the answer is very simple. And the answer is no. This is something specific to Mitzorah. Meaning this is not a general position of the Chachamim that they feel that the toveling in the mikvah before going to the Azara, that's a din d'oraisa, that's predicated on a Kal V'Chomer. No, it doesn't have to be that grand. It could just simply be that, look, the Mitzorah has been unaccustomed to Tahara all this time. And so, yeah, so for him, we're going to specifically highlight a space in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Esos Nashim, where he's going to be toveling in the mikvah. I know he already toveled yesterday, but he's been to Mitzorah all this time already. He's going to tovel again on day number 8. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here, and it'll give us an opportunity to recap our daf today. The opening, we talked about the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the requirement to wash your hands and feet after having urinated, which we learned together back in the Mishnah. And the Gemara's question is very simple. So why do you have to wash your hands and feet? And so the Gemara's answer is because if you find any droplets of urine, first step is that there's gonna be droplets of urine on your feet, and you don't want anyone to see that for concern that if they see it they'll take into consideration that you are impotent and the children that you quote unquote fathered are not your children, they're mamzerim. And so therefore you have to wipe your legs. But now you've distributed the urine between your hands and your feet, and that's why you have to wash your hands and feet. That's the, as per the Gemara, which as I pointed out when we did it, it means then that really this halacha is not specific to the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it becomes now seemingly a global, more general issue to consider. The Gemara then went into a little bit of bathroom talk in terms of v'ayamachanecha kadosh. You have to be in a clean area in order to learn Torah, in order to say Shema, in order to daven. So you have to be in a clean area. And we talked about what if there's excrement on any part of your body, and specifically what if there's excrement in the rectal area. And so the Gemara went through the various positions of Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Chista regarding the ability to say Shema if you have tzoa on either bimkama or shlo bimkama. Okay, the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Lamed Amud Alef takes us through, and a little bit of etiquette discussion when you step outside to go to the bathroom and you come back in again. So do you have to make a public display of washing your hands? And so the Gemara says that, at least we have a brisa that says that you do, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak says good, but I don't, because everybody knows I wash my hands, right? I'm that kind of person. Okay. The Mishnah then on Lamed Amud Alef takes us through the outline that a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is going to be doing 10 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, washing hands and feet, 5 tefillahs in the mikvah. We're going to be extraordinarily specific over the course of this perek in terms of the 10 and 5. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe that the first tefillah that he does is going to be done not in the base parva, even though all the others are. Okay, and anybody who goes into the Azara needs a tovah in the mikvah. And what we discussed over the course of the remainder of today's daf is that this requirement that anyone who goes into the Azara has to tovah the mikvah, what is that? Where is this halacha coming from? According to Ben Zoma, it's a kav chomer from the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. According to Rebbe Huda, no, the tefillah is just basically to, like, literally wake you up. It's to slap you in the face, wake you up a little bit, and say, are you harboring any old tumma? Because if you are, so you know you can't go into the Azara. And so by forcing it on the mikvah, it's going to be there as a reminder. A not so gentle reminder. The Gemara wants to know, are there going to be nafkaminas between Ben Zoma and Rav Yehuda? The Gemara basically came down to, yeah, one holds it to the Raisa, the other one holds it to the Rabbanan. Okay. And the Gemara doesn't spell out more. What does that practically mean? Maybe suffix, whatever. Not sure. Okay, the rest of today's daf, we talked about the Metzora's requirement to Tovel on day number 8. Day number 7, there's no discussion. Day number 7 is the end of his Tahara process. Of course, he Tovels in the mikvah on day number 7, having experienced Erev Shemesh. So now, for the most part, he's mostly Tahor, right? The only thing he can't do is can't go into the base of Mikdash, can't eat Karbanos, but for the most part, he's Tahor. Now he goes into the base mikdash on day 8 in order to bring his karbanos. So does he also have to tov on the mikvah on day 8? That's the amud base of today's daf. The chachamim say yes. Rabbi Yehuda says no. And then what we note is what seemingly is a stira within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. In one brisa, Rabbi Yehuda says no. In another brisa, Rabbi Yehuda says yes. And the Gemara had 5 different ways to resolve the stira. The Gemara didn't like the first and second way. So really, we end up with 3 different ways in terms of how to resolve the stira. Quickly, as a recap. One is that he tovled in the mikvah on day 7, but not with the proper machshavas and kavanas. That's one possibility. Forces him to do it again on day 8. Another suggestion of the Gemara is edit the braisa so that the lishkas ha-metzorim is for everybody but the metzora. Ironic. And the third suggestion that the Gemara accepts is that Rav Yehuda, as far as he's concerned, of course the metzora doesn't tovel on day number 8. But he was trying to speak to the chachamim on their terms. Okay.